Who are some of the top candidates to replace Greg Roman as offensive coordinator in Baltimore? We talk about Roman's departure, big names, what Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh had to say to the media, and much more coming up next on this episode of Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in here to another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Ostrecker of Ravens Wire. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for tuning in, making us your first listen. We are free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube. And today's episode of Locked On Ravens is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. And here with me today is Kadri Esmael, obviously former Baltimore Ravens wide receiver, Super Bowl champion as well. In Q, it's a big day today. As yesterday, the Ravens had plenty of things drop. It was not a soft news day for the Ravens on Thursday, as it was announced that they have parted ways with Greg Roman. John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta had some things to say to the media as well. Before I get your opinion on the Roman parting of ways, as it was put, he's exploring other opportunities. I do want to take a quick second to say that this is my 900th consecutive episode of Locked On Ravens, a milestone. So again, huge shout out to you, Q, all the guests, all the listeners, all the viewers. Thank you to all, everybody, all the support and everything that I get here. It's been back in 2019, Lamar's second season is when I started doing this. So time flies here. He's going to be entering his sixth. But Q, this is a big move for the Ravens. Obviously, it was one of those super highly anticipated. What were your initial thoughts? What was your initial reaction when this news dropped?
Yeah, I thought it would be an interesting conference because of the fact that usual press conferences at the end of the year, it's John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta doing separate ones. So something together, I thought it was, okay, cool. This is important. They're going to do it in a way that will talk about the elephant in the room. That's Lamar Jackson and his contract. And so I think the bigger picture, when you look at what, you know, came out of it, was just simply, we got a new coordinator that we're looking at, and the contract seems to be, contract negotiations seem to be ongoing and as current as Lamar and Eric DaCosta talking on Thursday. So there was a lot there to kind of get into and unpack.
Yeah, and I know with the news dropping of Greg Roman right around like an hour-ish before the actual press conference started, it caused a lot of waves because John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta talked a lot about, you know, how Lamar is going to be involved in the offensive coordinator process and how obviously they're very thankful for what Roman did in Baltimore and you know, talked about how good his family was and how good he was to the organization and obviously vice versa. But Q, we've talked about Greg Roman a lot here on the show over the course of the last couple of months and ever since we started talking here. But are you relieved that this move happened, or are you kind of wondering what's next for them offensive coordinator wise? What's kind of going through your head now that Greg Roman officially isn't the Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator anymore?
I am very much relieved. I think that has been one of the more controversial tenures in the Baltimore Raven carousel of offensive coordinators. I know that if you look at Cam Cameron, you know, he's had his fair share of criticism. You know, Mark Trestman, heck, even Marty Morningwig has had a lot of back and forth, you know, between the fan base of love and hate. And this one tops all of them. Anytime you mention, or at least I know I mention on my social media platform, you know, Greg Roman's name, it just lights up. And all of a sudden it just becomes a vitriol of, well, we need to fire him, we need to get rid of him. So I think it was a scenario from a pure fan aspect of things, good. But from an X's and O aspect of things, in my mind, the bigger picture becomes this. It's his dysfunction. It's his up and down nature. It's not ever really progressing a passing attack. It's the situational football that we saw that was so, I don't even know, like scatterbrained at times. It's the getting to the line and the play clock is going down and you're like, well, what are we doing? You know, it's the red zone. It's the red zone offense. You know, you have the same plays drummed up. Well, no wonder teams are going to figure that easily out. You've been running it to the right every single time. You pass it to the right every single time. There is no creativity in that. And then when you look at, you know, just what the players, J.K. Dobbins, you know, his complaint of like, man, I'm not even, you know, a factor in the game, and I should be, and especially in the red zone. How many times have we seen him not be a factor? How many times we've seen a Devin Duvernay who started off the year strong, so his resume is showing that he's dependable, but he would disappear for stretches at a time, only for, you know, Greg Roman to talk about his vault and what is going to be open or closed, or maybe he didn't remember the combination of it for certain guys, but all of that led to a disjointed flow of events that I think ultimately was like, hey, this is Greg's undoing. And, you know, you could say whether or not it was contractually something or not something or however it needed to be. But the bottom line was he's no longer the Ravens coordinator. And I think parting ways was a smart move.
Yeah, I think it was the right one. And you mentioned a lot there, Q, about maybe what was his undoing. And I'll give Greg Roman credit where it's due. Orchestrated some of the best rushing offenses that this Ravens team has seen, especially in 2019. But if you had to maybe pick one or two of the things that maybe led to his undoing the most, maybe like the final nail in the coffin, for me, I think just the outspokenness we started to see from the players, you know, specifically J.K. Dobbins and some of that, where they're just openly speaking out against the offense. I feel like that might have been like, maybe they need to do this, need to rip the band-aid off and go in a different direction. But was it the play calling for you? Was it the outspokenness? Was there any one thing that you put above the others in terms of why Greg Roman is no longer in Baltimore?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the final nail probably was James Proche on a jet sweep throwing a halfback pass when you have the game or you're driving down a football field, you should have the game in hand, and now it's an easy pick. All right, I'm like, you know, what? Like mother of pearl. You just never really fully developed a guy or guys, and it just. Yeah, you have a dynamic quarterback and you it's like you're wasting away, you know, these players and these plays and there's no rhyme or reason to it. So I think that's the frustration that I saw and a frustration, quite honestly, that players see too. I mean, you clearly know what's what when you know your name's going to be called or you know you feel like you're in the groove of the offense. And the game planning, and it just never felt like there was a groove or smoothness factor to all of it.
Right, questionable play calling, absolutely. But now the Roman chapter is closed. They are opening up another one with whoever this next offensive coordinator is going to be. But Q, the Ravens did say, you know, John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta at their press conference, they're going to be looking both externally and internally for their next guy. Would you prefer one or the other? Is there any sense for you that you would want to see someone come in completely new that has no organizational ties? Or would you rather see maybe familiarity and continuity with that next person?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, the continuity aspect of things doesn't really matter. I mean, you see it across the league. You know, it was so many firings of different coordinators, defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators. There's going to be, you know, an opportunity to really just, you know, turn over every stone. Don't leave, you know, no stone unturned and really go out there and in my mind, make it one where, yeah, if you're going to have a franchise record deal for Lamar and he's going to agree to it and all that jazz, then I think you need a coordinator who has that strong creativity and a strong flexibility to get the most out of your historic franchise quarterback.
Right. You know, if the guy is the guy, then the guy is the guy. You know, it doesn't matter if he comes from outside or inside the organization. I think this should be a very thorough process for the Ravens. And coming up, we'll be talking about just who some of those names could be, both maybe inside the organization and outside of it. So be sure to stay tuned. Still a lot to talk about here on the show. But first, this episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. And as a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. And I've had a ton of success with LinkedIn in the past, and I highly recommend it to anybody who is looking out there. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates for your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post company and their 875 million member profiles. Put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. You can identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based off your job qualifications all on one platform. And in 2023, if you want to achieve goals, the right team member can help you do that. That's why small businesses are ranking LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires for its leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. We are back. Our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allshaker still here with Kadri Ismail. And Q, we kind of tease it at the end of that first segment, but the Ravens are going to go, you know, no stone unturned, as you put it, externally, internally. But I think when you have those two categories, but then you have categories inside of those categories where guys have play calling experience. Some guys don't have play calling experience. Guys have head coaching experience even. And I know one of the hot names right now, one of the most popular ones I've seen, is Frank Reich, who was the former head coach over in Indianapolis, had a bunch of good things in terms of what you are offensive coordinator wise with Carson Wentz, was very good in terms of getting him to where he needed to be for what could have been a Super Bowl run, but obviously he got injured and Nick Foles took them where they needed to go there. But do you feel like a Frank Reich type coach, head coaching experience, someone who is able to maybe come in and provide that, I guess, like veteran coach presence, is that what you want to see out of this next offensive coordinator?
I mean, I sure. I think that would be great. I think a guy that has, you know, a resume to speak to the room, a guy that has a resume that can speak to Lamar, to give him, you know, options and choices and to grow his game. I think that's important. You know, if Lamar really is, which he said from the moment he was drafted, I'm all about winning the Super Bowl. And so you can't win it by yourself. You need to have a game plan that's strong week in and week out. And as a matter of fact, it's not even about the regular season. I mean, it's about like winning the division, but then that divisional round of the playoff, that championship game, those take strong strategies and choices to make. Heck, I wouldn't even mind if, you know, Jim Caldwell makes another guest appearance and comes back as coordinator. You know, I think those are things that I see and people that I see as far as, you know, what establishes you as a upper tier coordinator.
Gary Kubiak, is that another one you could see making, you want to see make? Probably not realistic, but man, those Kubiak offenses were fun, weren't they?
Those Kubiak offenses were amazing. You know, that wide zone stretch scheme, we saw a little bit of it, but he always had a counterpunch. You know, I think Greg Roman, not to you know, harp on a guy who's no longer there, but he never had like really a true counterpunch to his offense and in the rhythm of it. But you saw where there was a lot of counterpunches, and you see it, you know, through what you see in Kyle Shanahan, who, you know, is a direct reflection of what Gary Kubiak was all about. So, you know, there's some creative minds out there that I think can really help out, you know, a phenomenal quarterback in Lamar Jackson be successful and lead this team well into the playoffs. Deep playoff runs, not one and dones or, hey, we won a game, yay for us. No, the time is about winning and winning big.
Yep, it's the complacency factor where the regular season success, you got to have it to get to the playoffs, but then it's what you do in the playoffs that really actually is what counts. But all right, Q, I want to get a bit controversial with you for a second. There was a coach of the Denver Broncos named Nathaniel Hackett, did not work out in Denver. But before that, super bright offensive mind was the offensive coordinator in Green Bay, orchestrated some pretty good offenses over there. I feel like if he was the hire, it would be a controversial hire just because of what happened in Denver. But I feel like he's much more suited at this point to be an offensive coordinator, just maybe wasn't ready for the head coaching gig yet, just for that magnitude Would you be okay with Nathaniel Hackett, even though what happened in Denver this year was not pretty?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think if you look at the bigger picture, he was spoken of glowingly by the Mercurial Aaron Rodgers, and I think he, put up an offense that was definitely creative. He's not gonna have to worry about, hiring somebody to do clock management for him as a head coach, because all you have to worry about is just doing your job as a coordinator. Again, it's the respect in the room. I think if he has the respect of the room and the respect of number eight, I think that's the vital thing. And I think if you have a resume, then it's good that you can talk to the guys and have them believe we can go to Pittsburgh. Talk to the guys and believe that you can go toe to toe with Cincinnati. And it doesn't matter if you're playing the Bills or Kansas City or even, some up and coming team of like a Jacksonville in the playoffs. It don't matter. We're going to take it to them and we're going to win. Here's a game plan that proves it.
Yeah, and I know for this particular opening, I don't know, Q. For me, there are 10 teams right now that don't have an offensive coordinator opening. I feel like Baltimore is the most attractive opening. I feel like with what they have right now, I mean, you could maybe make an argument for the Los Angeles Chargers and their offensive weapons.
Sure.
Maybe New England under Bill Belichick, but I know that's pretty controversial just to say based off of, some people liking his coaching style, some people not liking his coaching style. But do you
Right,
feel
right,
like
right.
Baltimore is the most attractive opening in this offensive coordinator cycle?
You can say that. I mean, obviously from a organizational standpoint, I mean, there's continuity with Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh. There's continuity as far as, John not overlording over you. I think that you look at the talent. You got an offensive line that's solid and strong. So you got a quarterback that potentially is going to be the highest paid player ever, and therefore he comes with a lot of talent. There's minimal gossipiness inside of the organization, so there's a lot of pluses, if you will. And I think if you have those pluses, then this is an organization where, you put up, show up, and you are going to be rewarded by an owner and ownership that, really is low maintenance. There's not a lot of drama within, what we see from, Steve Bisciotti. So all those things have to factor in when you're talking about, trying to be not necessarily the guy, but clearly you're going to be the guy that helps the guy. And the guy that helps the guy is the offensive coordinator helping Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, one of the points of the press conference was, John Harbaugh, everyone's going to want the job. And I think there will be people lining up and will be very interested. But I know, Q, when teams are looking for new coaches, new offensive coordinators, new whatever, you look to the teams that have been successful that year. And some of the most successful offenses include Philadelphia this year, San Francisco, another one. There are a couple of names I kind of have my eye on personally. Brian Johnson, who's the quarterback's coach over in Philadelphia, obviously has helped develop Jalen Hurts, and also actually work with Dak Prescott a little bit as well. And then you also have from San Francisco, I know this name's really popular right now for the Ravens, Bobby Slowik, the San Francisco pass game coordinator, obviously another name to come out of potentially the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree, or just the Shanahan coaching tree in general with Mike there as well. Do you value maybe some of these lesser experienced play callers who come from some of the top teams in the league this year being Philadelphia and San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that this is let's just go for a known commodity. I think this is where, guys want a shot. Guys want an opportunity. Maybe there's a fresh look at it. I look at Mike McDaniel, and you hear some of the former players that played for him when he was a receivers coach, for example. You just know that he was an outside-the-box thinker. He really enhanced guys and helped them see things that you didn't see before. So guys that are, like you said, on the Kyle Shanahan tree or other coaches, it gives them opportunities to say, look, here's why you should pick me. This is some of the things that I do and I like to do, and I think it would really benefit Obviously the Ravens, it'll benefit Lamar. It'll help this team when they go into Pittsburgh and play against the Cleveland Browns or, against the Cincinnati Bengals and their different looks. Here are some of the things that I feel are going to be helpful. So, a lot of conversations to be had, but I like all those names because I think that gives variety to this process.
Yeah, other external names could include Joe Brady, who's the quarterback coach over in Buffalo right now, was the offensive coordinator for Carolina under Matt Rhule. That didn't really work out. And he was also at LSU during that crazy championship run they had with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and all those guys. Maybe Matt Weiss, although pending a police investigation, he was at Michigan, but we'll see maybe the Mike McDonald route, but obviously you gotta make sure all the legal stuff is good first. But internally, Q, T. Martin, George Godsey, James Urban, Martin and Godsey having play calling experience. Urban also a very traveled, very well experienced guy. Do any of those guys catch your attention?
T. Martin does. The other guys, I think, depends on what their voice was like and what they felt. Here's the thing. Like if you had the ear of Greg Roman, where was it when, Devin Duvernay went to, out there and balled out the first few games and then, disappeared? Where was the voice in the ear when you wanted to get Isaiah Likely involved and he got involved, but it was sporadic. Where was it when, if you look at, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, both guys, what, the one time it was 3 carries or 3 yards or something minuscule for Gus Edwards, or you only get 12 touches in a game where you should be balling out in the playoffs if you're J.K. Dobbins. So, I think a T. Martin would I think be a good fit and a strong fit for what, from an internal aspect of things, what the Ravens would be looking for.
Yeah, plenty of names all across the board for the Ravens. They have a lot to choose from. Hopefully, they choose the right guy. And coming up in our final segment, we'll be talking about how important it is that Lamar Jackson is seemingly going to have a voice in this whole thing. We'll talk about the wide receiver room a little bit and more coming up next in our final segment of Locked On Ravens. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. And if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you have to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know for me, one of my goals is to eat a little healthier this year. And if you're like me and we want to eat a little healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then you have to get your hands on Built. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution. And with Built, tasty is healthy and healthy is tasty. And what makes them so good is, for starters, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate, and they come in amazing flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. They're only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or even a Sam's Club. If you go to Walmart, you can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. Or if you're close to a Sam's Club, get a 13-bar box of brownie batter and churro. So you can thank me later. Get your hands on some Built Bars today. We're back here, our final segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Olsheker still here with Kadri Ismail. And Q, during that press conference, John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta made it clear that Lamar Jackson will have input into the offensive coordinator position for them. And look, I take that as you're not going to give Lamar Jackson that ability. I'm very glad they did, first of all, but you're not going to give him that if there aren't plans to have him on your team moving forward. That was a very good sign to me to say, hey, if Lamar gets input on this, if he brings in someone that he likes and he gets that input, he gets his voice. I think it was a great sign, especially with all the other messages they were sending throughout the press conference about, the fact that they want Lamar there. They're hopeful. They don't intend. Eric DaCosta refused to answer questions about potential trades there. How important were the Lamar Jackson answers that John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta gave throughout that press conference?
Well, I mean, so this is the devil's advocate. Am I being, positive and everything cool about Lamar to, yes, sign him, but also recognize that something, there's always a plan B, and if that plan B is Lamar not agreeing to a deal, I mean, I want the trade person to think that we love him and, we just don't want to give up on him. Oh, you're willing to give us 5 first-round draft choices plus 2 seconds and, your third and, oh, my gosh, and some conditional picks and a lung and a kidney? Wow, we're ready to go. So, yeah, there's a little bit of gamesmanship with it, but I think there's some sincerity there too. I think that there's a genuine, like, look, man, dude is a generational talent. You know, we want him, and I think that's what they're trying to convey. They're playing well played, both sides of the fences.
Right. And I think, they should want him. We've seen what he can do as one of the top quarterback options in this league. And I think if you're the Ravens, you don't want to go back into that quarterback uncertainty. Now, obviously, there's a whole other situation of does Lamar want to be there? If he doesn't want to be there, then you have to figure that out and just say, well, you kind of just got to take the hand you're dealt there and get what you can. But at the same time, I think the partnership hopefully will continue. That's still my gut feeling, but we'll see. There's still a lot of time. We'll still figure out what ends up happening. If there's a franchise tag applied, if there's whatever happens, we'll know in probably a couple months, at least some will get a little progress on that thing. But assuming, well, apparently with or without Lamar Jackson, there might be some new wide receivers in the mix. As they talked a lot at that press conference about the offense and the wide receiver room, and made it very clear that the wide receivers could be different, a lot different next year. But we've kind of heard it before, where they'll kind of go through it and then they'll either trust the young guys or they won't make a move, but they'll invest a first round pick here. They haven't made that big trade, but it seems like, they were very adamant that, hey, we have this offense pretty much all figured out, quarterbacks, running backs, tight ends, offensive line, even fullback, with the wide receivers being the area it feels like they want to really address. But Q, my question to you is, do you believe them this time around?
Well, I mean, what are you going to say? 26 years, and they've really, haven't developed that just dominant guy. They bring him in from the outside. Heck, going back to my day, and from there, just seemed like you just bring in another free agent, and that's good. But as far as developing, as far as drafting. The story is written that you just haven't been able to take it to the next level in developing receivers, and that's kind of crazy, but you need to keep trying. I try do it, and I think that's the important thing. But whether or not it actually gets done, that to me remains the biggest mystery.
Right. And whether that is bringing in DeAndre Hopkins via trade or drafting a Jordan Addison in the first round of the draft, it feels like, I don't know, I'm going to say it feels like there might be a major addition, but of course we have to actually see him do it first. We can't just say, oh yeah, they're going to do it, because we've said that for like three off seasons now. And then they'll bring in a Marquise Brown in the first round or a Rashad Bateman in the first round, but then they won't make the big splash like trade move. Now, Q, Eric DaCosta talked about Ben Powers, and John Harbaugh talked about the offensive line too. But for Powers in particular, kind of seems like he's not going to be back. Said that they have options there, but based off of the answers of the press conference, to me at least, it felt like Ben Powers probably won't be back in Ravens uniform.
Well, I think the thing is, for Ben, he has earned the right to play well, show up, be consistent, and that means that, this is the joy of free agency. I just need one other team to bid. You get into a bidding war, and next thing you're getting paid. So I think good for him. That's just the bottom line. Get your money. It's a time to play. There's a time to pay. This is the off season time to pay. I like what he is about. I think he has fit what the Ravens are all about, but I think he also recognizes he wants to move on and go elsewhere.
And I feel like even if Ben Powers does leave, which, look, credit to Ben Powers, he played really, really well for them in 2022. I have a position that, we were talking about at Q throughout the course of the offseason. We didn't know who was going to play left guard for the majority of the offseason. And Ben Powers steps in, plays really well. But if Ben Powers does leave, he gets a big deal. Obviously, he would deserve that 100%. But to have four of your five offensive linemen come back and have those guys pretty much entrenched, based off of what we were talking about last offseason with the Alejandro Villanueva situation and the uncertainty at center before the draft and what are they going to do at right tackle, to have four of those five guys entrenched already, you still got to feel pretty good, even if you have to put a Ben Cleveland in there or a mid-round prospect or sign a veteran to play at left guard. But this is something to me where the Ravens right now, I feel, I don't know, they call it the liar's luncheon, but I still feel a little more confident than I did before, just based off of, how much is coach GM speak, how much is real, we'll never really know. But in kind of a teaser for Monday's episode for me, which will be my topic, what to you right now is the state of the Ravens?
I think the state of the Ravens is it's a state in flux. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens when they go down to Florida and coming up in 6 weeks or so when they go to the principal's office and Bashadi is trying to figure out where we're headed. I think they have an amazing defense in play. I think they need more corners. I think it'll be interesting on some of the other issues that they'll be facing. But ultimately, I think that they're going to push themselves in a position where they're going to be relevant because they are the Ravens. It's just a matter of how relevant when it comes to the playoffs, if they can get over the hump.
Right. And I think we saw in that Cincinnati wildcard loss, they have pieces to be Super Bowl contenders. They just have to commit to a couple of big changes. They've committed to one of those in the offensive coordinator shift that we're going to see. But will they bring in a wide receiver? How will the left guard position look? How will the cornerback room look? There are other questions to answer, but the Ravens did take a step in the parting of ways of Greg Roman, and we'll see who the next guy is. But Q, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for hopping on with me. And who knows, maybe next week we'll have some names. We'll be able to talk about who's interviewing for the position, or maybe they'll hire a guy. I remember we did an episode last year where we recorded the whole thing. Then after we recorded it, the Ravens hire Mike McDonald at like 11 p.m. And I'm like, we're just talking about it. You know, we're just talking about when then they actually hire him. But I appreciate you coming on with me here again today. And I'm looking forward to more conversation next week.
Indeed. Looking forward to it.
And again, thank you so much to everybody. Again, 900 consecutive for me here on Locked On Ravens. Big milestone. Next up, next 100 is going to be 1,000. We'll hit four digits, so that'll be exciting here. But again, thank you so much for tuning in today on Locked On Ravens. Be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel on YouTube, follow along in audio form. When we get back on Monday, we'll be diving into more Ravens content. And again, the state of the Ravens. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And I will see you right back here on Monday.